Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has declared that a vote on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court will take place this week as senators look at the FBI's new report into allegations against Kavanaugh. The Kavanaugh Senate hearings and the testimony of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford have put the spotlight of partisanship on the Supreme Court, which at least in the public eye has been seen as less absorbed into political fighting. But the high court, or at least the nomination and confirmation steps, have been highly partisan off and on for more than a century. With me to talk about that is Calvin Schermerhorn, professor of history at ASU. Professor, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg joined the Supreme Court about 25 years ago, she was approved by the Senate on a 96-3 vote, even though a number of Republicans didn't agree with her points of view. How much more partisan has the process become since then?
When Ruth Bader Ginsburg was nominated and when the debate in the Senate took place, there wasn't the degree of partisanship that there is in both parties today. And so it was kind of the end of an era, but it was still an era in which a Republican nominee could be considered by Democratic senators and vice versa. And even if we go back to the Clarence Thomas nomination, he was confirmed by just two votes, but he had some Democratic votes for and some Republican votes against.
We all talk about how we're a more divided country, it's more partisan. Has that manifested itself in terms of the fact we have more liberal Democrats and more conservative Republicans? Or is it more a fact of, well, I need to raise money, I need to do these things, and so that's why I support my party more than I may have in the past?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. If we go back to the 1960s, we see the parties realigning to some degree. And what I mean by that is, in way back in the New Deal era, the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration, you had a Democratic Party that had a wing of Southern conservatives and Northern liberals. And somehow they managed to stay together in the Democratic Party. In the middle of the 1960s, especially after the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, you saw a major political realignment in which you saw Southern conservatives leave the Democratic Party, join the Republican Party. And that took a while to work out. But since the rise of the Tea Party, especially in 2010, you've had more polarization across the board.
And also, I think back to, I want to talk about people who have surprised their presidents. Eisenhower, I think, had two. I think Earl Warren and William Brennan were both two of his, and Brennan became one of the most liberal on the court.
Yes. If we go back to those two that you mentioned, Earl Warren and William Brennan, Earl Warren, a Republican governor of California, nominated to the high court by Eisenhower in the early 1950s. If you look at the decisions that the Warren court is known for, let's start with Brown v. Board of Education in 1954, ordering the desegregation of public schools, striking down the separate but equal doctrine that had been in force for over 50 years. You have Reynolds v. Sims in 1962, establishing the proposition of one person, one vote, which isn't in the Constitution. It was, you know, a matter of the Supreme Court deciding that. And Griswold v. Connecticut in 1965, affirming a right to privacy in areas of reproduction. Mm-hmm. And so if you think, well, this is the work of the Warren Court, well, wait a minute, he was a Republican nominee and Brennan as well.
We're really seeing of late, it seems, for the progressive side, let's try to get a judge who has a history of certain rulings in certain cases. They're important to us, and the conservative side as well. We've seen that with Roberts and Alito, and now we're seeing it with Kavanaugh. And Warren was a politician. And I wonder if you think the fact that we've gotten away from that, even Sandra Day O'Connor was a politician for a while, has that sent us into a more partisan vein?
Yes, it certainly does, because if we think of the pool from which Supreme Court justices are drawn, it used to be yes, it was always a partisan endeavor, but you had people like Harold H. Burton, a sitting Republican senator from Ohio, a surprise pick by Democrat Harry Truman, who was so uncontroversial that the Senate simply dispensed with any debate and forward his nomination to the entire Senate, and he was confirmed within hours, done. Earl Warren, right, former Republican governor. But in the last, the last 30 or so years, candidates have been drawn from the judiciary, but very specifically, people who have a Republican or a Democratic pedigree, those who clerked for a certain justice, those who are active in party politics. It's probably not going to surprise anyone that Judge Kavanaugh clerked for Anthony Kennedy.
Does the partisanship we see in terms of the nomination process, does that affect the partisanship we see on the court in terms of how they rule and whether they're able to convince each other? Because we've heard that certain justices have been kind of a swing and say, well, I'll go along with you on this, if you almost like a political compromise.
That's an interesting question, because the culture of the court has been one of cooperation, even famously bipartisan cooperation that doesn't necessarily lead to one justice convincing another of her opinion. But it does, there's been kind of an extraordinary camaraderie on the court. And whether that's eroded in recent years is up for debate. But one of the things that's interesting about the Supreme Court and why it's so immensely important now is that the Supreme Court has become an arbiter of legal questions that Congress has not been able to deal with. Because of the partisanship and because of the inability of Congress to actually pass legislation in things like campaign finance, it's become a matter for the courts. And so it's no accident that Supreme Court picks are so politically important, because in the absence of national legislation, you get the courts deciding what is constitutional and what is not constitutional.
So based on what you've seen from a historical standpoint, does this look like we're heading into one of the more hyper-partisan periods of at least the nominations? And of course, some people are worried that that will send us down a slope we'll never return from. I don't know if we can be that pessimistic, but do you think this will hold for a while?
Yes, it will hold for the foreseeable future. There is some precedent in the 19th century for some extreme partisanship. One of the most famous examples is that of Roger B. Taney. He was Andrew Jackson's Treasury Secretary nominee. Jackson put Taney up for the Secretary of the Treasury. The Senate refused to endorse that. They refused to confirm him. So Jackson waited for the next election to yield a Democratic majority and then put him up for the Supreme Court. And then, just to be sure, put him up for Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. And he's most famous for the decision in Dred Scott v. Sanford in 1857, which held that African Americans had no rights, which the white man was bound to respect, in quotes, and that the Negro might justly be and lawfully be reduced to slavery for his own benefit, unquote. And so this decision ruled that Congress had no power to regulate slavery in the U.S. territories, and it tried to settle a thorny issue that that Congress couldn't settle and that was tearing the country apart.
Calvin Schermerhorn is a history professor at ASU.